We welcome in one of our favorite guests on the program from TSN 690 in Montreal. Tony Marinaro joins us. Tony, obviously COVID's a serious thing, so we hope that everything works out. And, you know, it's only maybe one player or hopefully none. But the hot topic in Montreal, I'm assuming, because
If I can. I'm going to let it slide because the topic is COVID here, and it's a very serious one, but I got to bring my son to school every morning at 7:15. I usually wake up about 20 minutes before that, wash my face, brush my teeth, I get out. The fact that the game was supposed to be a 7 o'clock start tonight, Montreal time, means it would have been over by 9:30, means I would have got to bed early, got a good night's sleep, and now this happened. Damn.
You welcome to home games in Edmonton on the weekdays. We have a lot of 8 o'clock starts, so that's just kind of how it goes. I can only imagine what the conversation is right now in Montreal, because Jake Allen has a .940 save percentage. Carey Price and his $10 million cap hit has like an .894 save percentage in 8 starts, and Allen's in 5 starts. And we'll see what happens tonight, Tony. But it isn't just, you know, a short-term one. It's what happens if they have to expose Jake Allen in the expansion draft, because I think Seattle would be running to claim him.
Well, if they would, I mean, you have to work out a deal with Seattle so that they don't get him. But listen, no one in the Montreal Canadiens is going to tell you that this is a serious issue right now. But if you look at it objectively, it really is. A slump lasts 3 games, 4 games, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We're 5 weeks into the season. The guy they acquired at $4.3 million, and going forward he's going to make less than $3 million, who joins a new city, a new team, a new coach, new assistant coaches, new goalie coach, new teammates, new system, new division, new everything, has top 3 goals against average in the league, top 3 save percentage in the league, pardon me, and I say 3 because top 3, because even though he, you know, he may be 5th or 6th, there's a couple of goalies in there who have played one game all season, so that doesn't count. And so he's top 3 in save percentage, and he's top 5 in goals against average. And the other guy who's been here for over a decade was drafted here and cultivated and developed and got the big contract and is familiar with the coaches and the players and the team and the system and the city and the pressure and everything, has 35 to 40 goalies who have a better goals against average and save percentage. I'm not one to sugarcoat things. Here's the deal. Carey Price has not played well this season. Period. Jake Allen has played great this season. Period. And I understand that Claude Julien doesn't want to enter himself in a goalie controversy here. I get it. But last night versus a team that is a stronger opponent, with all due respect to Edmonton, between Toronto and Edmonton, Jake Allen should have played. And Claude Julien went with Carey Price based on reputation, and that's fine. If this game happens tonight, let's hope it happens, and Jake Allen stones the Oilers and he wins again, and they play in Saturday, they play Saturday in Toronto, he's got to play Jake Evan. He's got to play Jake Allen. He's got no other choice. Don't you think?
Well, yeah, I do, right? But the, you know, the contract and Carey Price's reputation, I can understand why a coach might be like, well, geez, it's Carey Price. I might want to give him another shot. And it's Toronto, and so you'd like to see if he could bounce back against it. But I do agree with you that you can make the strong argument that it could be Jake Allen.
We got a problem in Montreal. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. There are some people who will say Carey Price didn't deserve the contract, way too much money, yada, yada, yada. And I think those people are, you know, maybe a little bit too hard on him. Okay? Maybe a little bit too hard. There's others, though, that Carey Price can do no wrong. Like, right now, he's playing bad. If you talk to some of those people in Montreal and you talk to them about Carey Price, you know what they'll tell you? He'll bounce back. Yeah, but Price's average is bad. He'll bounce back. But his goals against average is bad. He'll bounce back. But his save percentage is bad. He'll bounce back. But you know what? He hasn't played well for them this season. But they'll never tell you, ever, that he's playing bad. And look, you know, he didn't ask, you know, he didn't force them to give him that contract. Well, mind you, you know, they felt they had to, or else they were going to lose him going forward. But I don't... For a guy who's been labeled a superstar, and believe me, when he's on, like I've seen him up close, when he's on and he's in the zone, I mean, he's poetry in motion. It's something else, the way he moves side to side and laterally and all that stuff. It's amazing. When his technique is on, he's amazing. But he goes into these lapses. He struggles for 4, 5, 6 weeks, 8 weeks at a time. That anyone else who's been called a superstar in the National Hockey League, I don't see them slump that long. I don't see McDavid be bad for 5 weeks. I don't see Crosby be bad for 5 weeks. Ovechkin be bad for 5 weeks. Auston Matthews be bad for 5 weeks. Like, I don't see this from other stars. But I see it from him. Mind you, I will say this. Not a goalie league anymore. The league got too young, it got too fast, it got too talented, it got too offensive, and I'm convinced that, you know, if Marc Bergevin would have been giving out that contract today, knowing the reality, I don't think he would have invested that much in a goaltender, but here we are and it is what it is.
Tony Marinaro joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Tony, it's been a long time, but man, and I'm not comparing to the great Habs defense, but man, this Montreal defense right now, their top five, I believe, is the best top five in the National Hockey League. They spread it around nicely. They don't really have to overuse anyone, but, you know, Edmondson has won a Stanley Cup, and Shea Weber. Petrie's been really good in Montreal for the last four seasons.
Yeah.
You know, Ben Chariot, I think, is maybe underappreciated, but Romanoff, no one really knew. Has he surprised you at how good he's been?
Okay, well, before we get to Romanoff very quickly, when you just said Petrie's been really good for the last four seasons, I don't want to, like, make it sound any worse or rub salt in the wound. Jeff Petrie's been not very good. He's been unbelievable. Unbelievable. Jeff Petrie, if the season would end today, would probably win the Norris. Now, I know it's not ending today. Jeff Petrie last year in the play-in and the playoffs was unbelievable. During the season, he was unbelievable. In the seasons where Shea Weber went down and was hobbled with those injuries and took a while and was out for 25 or 27 games, he played like a number one defenseman. With Weber in the lineup, he plays like a number one. So he has been a revelation, because I don't even think the Canadians thought he was going to be that good when they acquired him from Edmonton. On to Romanoff now, who wants to be called Romanoff, by the way.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so now you know. And I make the mistake all the time. I call him Romanoff every day anyway, just force of habit. Easier to say, I guess. We heard he was good. I saw him at the World Juniors. He looked good, but you look at the World Juniors and you say, okay, well, he's playing versus kids that are under 20 years old, and he's going to make it to the National Hockey League, and then it's, you know, you're going to be playing with men, and it's an extra jump. Last night he got a little bit exposed. He was on the ice at times versus Auston Matthews and Marner or Tavares and Nylander, and he was going up against the cream of the crop, and he looked at times a little bit overwhelmed. But he's a rookie defenseman in the National Hockey League. He does everything well. He skates well. He's got a great first pass. He can change the momentum of a hockey game with a hit. He's mastered the art of just great timing on his hitting. He's great in transition. He's going to be really good. He's going to be really, really good. I wouldn't be surprised. And maybe this year might be a stretch, but within the next year or two that he goes from third-pairing defenseman to first-pairing defenseman. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you can't get better than him. Obviously, you could, but he would be probably the best at what they have on the left side, with all due respect to Chiarot and Edmondson, who I think if Chiarot was a second-pairing defenseman and Edmondson was a third-pairing defenseman, then this team would be even better than they are. Even though they have a record of 8-3-2. So they're already very good, but they could be even better. I think he has that ability. Will it happen between now and the end of the season? I wouldn't be surprised. But, you know, more realistically, you would think within a year or two, you know, is probably more realistic.
Tony, is Josh Anderson the new fan favorite in Montreal?
He is. When they acquired him, Marc Bergevin said, there are probably five guys in the National Hockey League that can do what Josh Anderson did. And he went out and he gave him that 7-year contract, and Marc Bergevin came on my show, and I said to him, I said, look, I'm not going to lie to you, man. I'm not a fan of these long contracts. And he basically said if I didn't give it to him, he was gone. And so you need to secure him and you need to give it to him. The number's digestible. It's $5.5 million. He is big. He is strong. He is fast. He goes to the net. He goes to the traffic areas. He's a leader. This guy's a man. This guy is a man. Bergevin wasn't kidding when he said there's probably five guys that can do what he does. They haven't had a power forward like this in I don't know how long. I've been covering this team at the station since September of 2002 when I started part-time, full-time January 2003. I've never seen a big, strong forward like this. I mean, they had Eric Cole back in the day who scored 35 goals and 33 goals, I think, for the Canadians. And he was, a force when he would go to the net. But he was a force, but this guy's mean. This guy is mean. And if you take a look on YouTube, I mean, you'll see. I mean, he's fought Tom Wilson before. He's fought Zdeno Chara before. Between you and I, if you're going to fight Tom Wilson, you're going to fight Zdeno Chara, you're not a regular guy.
No, that's true. That's
true. Normal people don't fight guys like that. So he's got it. He's got a... And this is what the Canadians have this year that they haven't had in previous years, right? They got guys that have an edge. They got guys that got a, that if the wires touch, they can do something stupid. Anderson's one of those guys. Edmondson especially is one of those guys. If the wires touch, this guy will lose it. So, in the past, they've been a team that's been pretty easy to play against. And they had a lot of small guys. And for my liking, they are still small, to tell you the truth. Suzuki 5'11", Drouin 5'11", Thomas Tatar 5'10", Brendan Gallagher 5'9", Paul Byron 5'7". For me, they're still a little bit small. You'd have to probably replace two of those guys or something like that. But and not to mention that Cole Caulfield's going to get called up by the end of the year or next year, and he's like 5'6", probably. So, but they're harder to play against than they have been in previous years, thanks to guys like Anderson.
Which line do you see? Is Deneau automatically going up against McDavid tonight?
I would say so. He's Claude Julien's most trusted forward, who's, by the way, just having a really bad season. Coming at the wrong time for him. Before the season started, the line of Deneau, Gallagher, and Tatar for the last two seasons has been a constant with the Canadians. I think they've been together probably 98% of the games. Their 5-on-5 stats are excellent. They're top 10 in the National Hockey League. At least they were last year and the year before. They offered him a 6-year, $30 million contract. He refused it.
What?
He wants 5.7 per year on those terms. The comparable that his side is giving is Brock Nelson. And I don't know if the contract is weighing on him, but I'm going to tell you right now, he's a very useful player for sure. But he looks like a third-line centerman this year. And as a matter of fact, the fourth-line centerman, Jake Evans, has looked better than Phil Deneau. So I thought up until 2 weeks ago, he's asked, they offered five. He asked 5.7. They'll meet in the middle. Jason, as time goes on, I'm not so sure that's going to happen anymore. This is a cap league. They have Kotkaniemi, Suzuki, Armia. These are all contracts that are going to all be up within Thomas Tatar within a year or two. And Tatar, I'll tell you right now, I'll bet the house on it. At the start of next season, Thomas Tatar will not be a Montreal Canadian anymore. So he's playing his last year with the Canadians. I just don't see them bringing him back. But now I'm starting to wonder about Deneau, because if Deneau turns into or is a third-line centerman, on a team that's up against the cap, you can't pay a third-line centerman $5 million, right, Jason?
Oh, no, no chance.
No chance.
No, he's a important player, though.
I don't know if he's going to get that money elsewhere, but I wouldn't bet on him getting it here anymore. I think that offer is off the table, and I don't think he's seeing it again.
Wow. Well, you know what? We've seen a lot of guys that... they didn't take the big contract offer, and then they end up taking way less. And I think with what the financial landscape moving forward of the NHL is, I'm with you. I see players who you're just going to get some squeezed out guys unless you're an elite player. You're going to get the money. Everybody else is going to probably have to take. Lots of guys are going to be taking pay cuts.
Yeah, well, that's the reality, right? There's no gate revenue coming in. COVID pandemic, and that's the reality. Like I said, I think it's. Look, if Phil Deneau wanted $4 million a year to center their third line, I think they'd be, you know, they'd go up to $4 million if they had to. Ideally, 3.75. But now he declined $5 million. He wants more. But I will say this: defensive hockey player, yes, good defensive hockey player for sure. Ask Nathan MacKinnon, not an easy guy to play against. As good as the reputation that he has, hey, listen, who am I to argue with Nathan MacKinnon? I'm nobody, but I would think that maybe they've overrated him a little bit in the conversation, but I'm sure Nathan knows a lot better than me in my basement.
Yeah, well, yeah, sometimes, hey, Dano had a great year, no question about it, but
yeah.
when suddenly you're asked to be the number one guy, Tony, like maybe just not a lot of guys can be the number one. There's a lot of really good defensemen who could be excellent as second pair guys, but suddenly if they have to play first pairing minutes, they struggle.
Jason, you know what it was? It was right place, right time. The team was average. They didn't have a lot of depth. He got a lot of playing time. He played with the two wingers that Claude Julien, or two of the wingers that Claude Julien trusted the most. Gallagher, one. Tatar, another. Clearly, he trusts Byron and Lehkonen, too, but they don't have what it takes to play on those offensive lines. So he got a lot of ice time. He played over 18 minutes a game. He was used in all situations. So he's always on the ice. The other lines can't score a lot of goals. So he picks up anywhere between 46 and 53 points, and that looks really good. And you look at those stats and you say that deserves money. Now all of a sudden, the team adds Josh Anderson, Tyler Toffoli, Corey Perry, Joel Edmondson, Jake Allen, Romanov comes in. They become a much more complete team, a better team, a deeper team. His importance to the team is less. He gets less ice time. He gets less minutes. He's not worth that money anymore. When David Desharnais used to be here, and this team was below average, he centered Pacioretty and Cole. He picked up his share of points. If the team would have got better, he would have been on the third line, and he would have picked up half the points. So, right place, right time for him the last 2 years, but I think reality's starting to set in.
Tony, I love having you on, buddy. I appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight. Maybe go have a nap. Maybe go have a nap so you can handle the late night start.
Yeah, I'll probably do that. Hey, thanks for calling me, man. Cheers.
You betcha.